B-Pod Studios.
Hey, yo, Mike Missanelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole, 97.5, Mike Missanelli show. Si, senor, we numero uno, and internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF, Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's a Tuesday. It's still a little chilly out there, but it is the Mike Missanelli show. We're going to warm you up. We're broadcasting to the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast, 97.5 Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. I realized today when I put this on here that I was okay on one side. Like, one breast was okay, the other was not. And, you got Penn State logo here. This was just a shirt I wore. I felt like on casual today, so it's not like I'm making any kind of statement at all. But I realized, Tyrone, that I'm unintentionally endorsing someone. And like Michael Jordan with the Dream Team, I've got to correct it.
You're going to correct it.
I'm making a point to all endorsers out there that I'm an equal opportunity endorser. That anybody who would like to endorse me officially can do so. So what I'm going to do here is just cover the logo like Jordan did with the Dream Team in 1980. And I'm going to go with the American flag here. Right?
Yeah. The Scotch tape. Just
the Scotch tape. I got American flag.
Make sure it stays.
There.
There you go.
We okay now?
Yeah, we're good.
That looks good.
All right. So, like, nothing personal against the, the swoosh. But I have to keep myself open to all endorsements.
Yeah, everybody hear that?
I'm going patriotic today.
Mike Miss is a sneaker deal free agent.
I am. Yes. I am a sneaker deal free agent. Anybody who would like to endorse me, I will take your endorsements. That goes for Under Armour. It goes for Nike. It goes for Reebok. It goes for Adidas. Whatever else is out there these days.
Puma. And that's making a comeback.
Right, Puma. Mm-hmm. I go with the P hat every now and then. Now, I realize I can't do anything about this little polo logo, but it's not the same as the swoosh.
Nah.
The swoosh is more of an athletic brand. The polo logo is more of a, and it's just the hat.
Yeah.
But I'm making a statement today like Mike did. Because I want to be like Mike. Because I am Mike.
I was just going to say that. You are Mike.
Right. So here are the things we need to talk about today, because there's a lot of lingering stuff. First of all, the Sixers with a magnificent win last night. I mean, they crushed that team. That Houston team was feeble. And the way they played James Harden, early on, they ran a lot of different guys at him, and he still scored. But then in the second half, they said, all right, now we're going to crunch your spear. We're going to double team you as soon as you come over half court. I've never seen an NBA team do that, because when he realized that the Rockets had nobody else that could hurt him. And it was brilliant coaching by Brett Brown. But we're not going to hear that today, right? So the Sixers with an easy win. A new Cole hero, my boy Corey Brewer, last night comes up big. A little energy. And I'm going to tell you the truth. If you're playing in a pickup basketball game and Corey Brewer acts like he did last night, he gets punched in the head. There's no question. He scored on that one play, and then he ran over to Harden and put his butt into him, like to post him up in the inbounds pass. That deserved a right hook,
yep,
to be honest with you. But he's a Sixer, and all's good. So let's talk about the issue that most people were talking about today. And this is this leftover story that was in the Philly Voice yesterday. What to make of Carson Wentz's standing in the locker room? Now, there's a lot of issues here. And it was being talked about on Get Up this morning, right? Let's hear what Greenberg had. We had that, Tyrone? Let's hear what Mike Greenberg had to say about it. Because I'm not really sure he hits the point on it. But he's talking about a certain part of this particular story. Here's what he had to say.
Anonymous sourcing is critical to the journalism business, and no one is suggesting that you shouldn't use anonymous sourcing in situations that involve safety and people's lives or millions of dollars or whatever the case may be. But to try and get a personal grudge out there into the zeitgeist by just throwing anonymous quotes out there is the dictionary definition of cowardice. And so to whatever players or sources close to the team, which I'm not in any way questioning, I'm sure there is validity to this and that people actually said it. But just know that when you are saying that and putting your words out there without attaching your name to it, you're a coward. Mm. That's what cowards do. You're not making the world any better. You're not making the team any better. You're not saving or, in fact, helping anyone. You are just trying to push your own personal agenda and narrative for the betterment of no one but yourself or whatever your reasons are. And if you look up coward in the dictionary, there should be a picture of that.
Yeah, well, first of all, I don't know what planet you live on, but it happens to be reality. Like, what's wrong with pushing your personal agenda? You're not a coward. You can't identify yourself if you've got a problem with Carson Wentz and you're telling a reporter you have a problem with him. You can't identify yourself. You're going to step up. I'm not going to be a coward. I'm going to identify myself. Then what happens to you? If that's how you really feel, you can't say it anything but anonymously. So I don't know what the hell Greenberg's talking about. The point of it is... is it true within the ranks of the Eagles team? Or is it just a segment of people? Or is it anybody at all? We don't even know if the story's true. We have no way of knowing whether this story is true, right? I have no reason to doubt that the guy, the reporter, talked to some people who fostered this kind of opinion. So where does it leave you? It leaves you really nowhere. The other part of it is, there's this mistrust of the press. Oh, here we go. The press is trying to break up team unity. Press isn't trying to break up team unity. If you're a journalist and you're talking to some people and a couple of players who are important to the team tell you something like this, what are you supposed to do? Ignore it? The Eagles aren't paying you. You're an independent journalist. You're being paid by another entity. If you think you have a story, you have a story. My problem is not with the guy getting a story like this and publishing it. My problem is, and I go way back and I talked about it yesterday, my problem is how does this story get in print so easily? Because to me, it's not a story unless it's a majority of the people that feel that way about Carson Wentz. You're making the point that there's discord in the locker room over the team leader. You can't make that point unless there's a majority of people who have that discord. That's the only thing that I see here. Now, I know a lot of people have been talking about this all day. I'm not sure what you're spinning on it is day two. The bottom line is, whoever it is, let's just say, and I don't really want to throw him in, but I'll throw him in. Just who could possibly have an axe to grind? The likely choice would be the guy who's not getting the ball from Carson Wentz. And for a long time, that was Alshon Jeffrey. Now, he hasn't tweeted in support of Carson Wentz. So, like, suppose it's him. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's a guy who's shooting off his mouth at a particular time where he felt like shooting off his mouth. It doesn't mean anything to team harmony because it's a guy blowing off steam. So, like, this story, while it's interesting to talk about, and it's interesting to get in depth with it, what it really means, to me, it really means nothing. And I could be wrong about that. And I'll go over to Tyrone. Tyrone, what does this story mean to you right now? You've heard people talk about it all day long, and you've heard their opinions. What do you now decipher from this whole thing?
To me, what it means is that the NFL locker room is like any workplace on earth. And I think we forget that. I know it's different in some ways, but there's no workplace where everybody likes everybody. No workplace. And if six guys, let's say he said half a dozen, let's say it was six out of 53, really don't like Carson, that would be, to me, normal. If we asked the whole company about you, there's people who would like you. There would be people who don't like you.
And they would do it anonymously. And in fact, there has been a story that was published years ago where people within this company had negative things to say about me anonymously.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But that's where I'm angry.
And I know who the rat was. But
this is where I disagree with you a little bit. if said player has an issue with Carson Wentz, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, everyone who works here that I actually interact with knows exactly how I feel about them.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe to my detriment.
Right. And you would probably say the same thing about me. That I
yes.
I'm pretty much the same way.
Yeah. And I think that's the proper way, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if mm-hmm. coward's the word, but if you have a problem with Carson, I'm not saying don't go to the media anonymously.
Go to him?
Go to him first. If Carson does not give you the answer that you like, if you still have an axe to grind after you discuss it, then fine. And my question then becomes, if it was whoever, did you go to Carson first? That's what you have to do. You don't go to the media first. That is cowardly, in my opinion. It don't go to someone else. If you have a problem with me, tell me. Don't go to someone else, because that, to me, is cowardly.
But see, here's the thing. That's probably not realistic either, because when a reporter develops a relationship with somebody, that person can feel that he can talk to him and get a little message out and get it published, because it's more of an impact to get it published than it is just to go to talk to Carson Wentz, right? It's an issue. Yeah, and so by doing that, you say, I'm not the only one who feels this way, right? And that's your message. That's what you want to get out. But here's the thing. Like, I in this day and age, and with all due respect to the guy who wrote the story, because I'm not trying to chastise him at all, I don't know who to believe these days. This is an age where there are stories that are fabricated because of the competition in this business to get stuff out, to get your brand on it, and in some perverse way, to get some kind of respect that you're on the scene and you got this great story. There's no longer a question on whether the story is true or not. The question is getting it out to get people to think that it's true so they can talk about it. We live in a different age now. And that's the way it rolls. And I pretty much accepted that. There's nothing you can do about it. I was telling you before the show about how journalism used to be. Like, when I would write a story, it would have to go through 5 different people before it saw the light of day. And as much as we complained about it as the authors of the story, in the end, we didn't have final say. Today, every writer has final say on what goes in.
That's troubling.
I have learned to take it with a grain of salt. I know the landscape now. I know the social media proliferation. So I go, all right, whatever. That's out there. It's now for myself to understand whether it's true or not. And if it's true, what are the ramifications? So I assume, okay, it's true. What are the ramifications? The ramifications are nothing. Because an entire team doesn't feel that way. So it can't possibly hurt what the Eagles are trying to do. That's the way I look at it. It doesn't have any legs, the story, for me. For that reason.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you already seen the leaders of the team have pretty much unanimously come out publicly, at least, and supported
Carson.
Yeah,
but see, that doesn't mean anything to me either. Again, it's all about your perception. Like, just because Fletcher Cox comes out and says, the story's wrong, I support him, that doesn't mean that Fletcher Cox really feels that way. That means that Fletcher Cox may be protecting his ass. I don't know. I don't know Fletcher Cox personally. I don't know anybody who put these tweets out, whether they're sincere or not, or whether they just don't want to be labeled as a source. Because there's a way you protect yourself by coming out. I can protect myself. Oh, my God, there's a story. It's an anonymous source. They might think it's me. I'll reverse the polarity here, and I'll come out with a tweet that says, I support Carson Wentz, blah, 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 blah. It doesn't mean that they weren't one of the sources.
So then
I'm too cynical to believe that anybody could be that true in soul to come out. Like, even a guy like Fletcher Cox, I go, all right, maybe you did, maybe you didn't.
Malcolm Jenkins, too, is just a liar. Because that would be basically being a liar.
Listen, here's what we know, logically. There's no reason not to come out with a tweet in support of Carson Wentz. He's going to be the quarterback from this point on. Unless you're on the record supporting him, you could be labeled as a possible source that was in this story. That's the logical view of it, right? So if you're really smart, you come out and you support him, whether you are one of the sources or not. Nobody's true at heart. In this day and age, you think people are true at heart?
Yes.
This is a terrible society. This is a terrible society.
You're right.
That we live in.
And people are wretched.
People are no damn good.
But but through the wretched, there are still good souls.
I agree, Ty.
Yeah.
There's a lot of wretched.
I remember my first law school class. One of the deans came out there. He's addressing like 300 people, freshmen. And he goes, here's the first thing you have to learn if you're going to be in law school. People are no damn good. That was it. That was the premise. So everything you studied was based on the premise that people are no damn good. And everybody's out to get each other. And that's how you have to think as a lawyer. I know. It's a desolate view.
That must be great to deal with on an everyday basis.
It's a desolate view, Nat. But that's, you know, sometimes it's the reality you have to face.
I don't know.
But you know me. I'm all about America.
I am.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to have Corey Brewer will come on at 4 o'clock today. He was a big hero last night. Everybody loved him. I like him too. And when they acquired him, I said right away he becomes the first best guy off your bench. Right? Remember I said that?
Yep.
Yeah. Now it's not because he's overly talented, but he gives you a little something. He can make a little bit of a difference because he's played in this league. All right, 610-632-0975. That's how you get into the show. And I want to hear from you today on the Mike Misnelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Ah, 222. It's the Mike Misnelli Show. It's 97.5 The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Lion Conkla. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit their new locations on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Time for the Twitter poll. Brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. From snowblowers to generators and small engines, every part for every machine in stock when you need it. Moyer will keep you going this winter. Miss Natalie Eganoff, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. So, based off of Brett Brown's comments from last night, do you think Joel Embiid will be a serious MVP contender? And 70% saying yes, 30% saying no.
I could 30% say no.
I don't know.
Really? 30% of this town say no? Like, what's that about?
It's early.
Like early vote?
It's early.
Who would say no, though, to that? Like, it should be like almost 100%. Of course he's an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
People are funky, man. They're weird. Like last night, I tweeted like 5 great things about the Sixers. And after the third quarter was over, I suggested to D'Antoni that he, you know, cash the chip in. And, you know, just wait for the team bus. And I said, you need Clyde, Ralph Sampson, who else did I say? Yao, and who else?
Did you say Olajuwon?
Olajuwon. Yeah. I said, you need those 4 to get back in this game, Holmes. You know, so I'm tweeting, Sixers smashing, and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the game, I noticed that they haven't said anything about Jimmy Butler not being on the bench. So I tweet, Jimmy Butler not on the bench? It was curiosity, and people just came attacking me. It was like, you're against the home team. Like, I just posed a question. Well, so why wasn't Jimmy Butler on the bench? I actually texted you. Why isn't Jimmy Butler on the bench?
And I asked, and apparently it was a treatment in the back. And then that's all I was told.
Listen, it's not life or death. I get it. It just was peculiar to me that, like, every other guy that was hurt is on the bench. Jimmy Butler, a team leader, not on the bench. So he get treatment. What, like, you needed that 1 hour and a half to get treatment? Like, the treatment you couldn't get before? That doesn't make any sense to me.
So
he just didn't want to be on the bench for whatever reason it was.
You know, it was a lot of people on the bench. Patton, mm-hmm. I have to say.
That was on the bench.
Now, I will say
our pal Markel.
Markel, which is, you know.
Zaire.
Apparently, both of them are going to be in the G League soon, if mm-hmm. that does anything for people. I think they really think Zaire's going to play this season at some point,
uh-huh.
they believe. Patton is interesting. He was good in college.
He was a very good player. Yes, he was.
Maybe not this year. Do you think that there's a chance he can ever contribute? Because he looked good warming up yesterday.
I think he's got skill.
Got some ability. Because he looked.
He's got some ability.
I'm just wondering. You're skeptical on people. That's why I'm asking you.
No. I think he's got, I mean, but it doesn't mean anything to me. They need something this year. So to me, he's off my radar.
And you don't think Zaire's too raw?
Yeah. There's nothing that Zaire Smith is going to do to help the Sixers playoff win. You know, like to beat teams in a series. They need players like Corey Brewer can make a little bit of a difference. He can't make a lot of a difference because he can't shoot it really. But he can make a little bit of a difference because he's a pro, he's been around, and, you know, he can do what he did last night, which was to kind of be a pass, be a defender, and, you know, make an occasional backdoor cut.
Yeah. No, that's what he can do. Yeah. He's a real pro, like you said.
Yeah, he is. All right, let's go Chris in Williamstown. Chris, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Mike, you know what? That I got to eat some crow today, man, because I told you yesterday that I thought that Houston would come out and stomp them boys last night. Especially after what I saw in Oklahoma City, like, you know, is Houston really that one-dimensional of a team that if Houston find a way to keep...
Yeah, with that two starters, they stink. Really, they have no... you notice when they double-teamed Harden when he came over half court, they've got no answer. And their second-best player can't even play anymore. Eric Gordon fell off the map. I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, and he had a game-winning shot or game time.
Yeah, I know. He had 30. But he can't shoot it. He used to be a really viable three-point shooter. He's like a 30% shooter from three now.
And I absolutely think Joel Embiid was salivating at the glance, knowing that they had to sign Kenneth Faried to come off the street to come play for them in a tough spot. Like, Kenneth Faried and Nene don't have no right being centers in this league. No right. I mean, you needed it, but...
Yeah, what made you think the Sixers were going to... Did that line tell you enough? I kept telling you.
No, it really didn't. Well, see, here's the thing, Mike, and I said it before. When you can keep this team, one-dimensional, like, take James Harden out of it, like, if you can keep him under 40 or 50, like, that should be an extra boost for, you know, the win last night. Not the fact that you won the game, but the fact you kept him under 40. Like, he's been going on tears of 40.
Yeah, he has. He has, but you were discounting the Sixers' ability to score at home also.
And they scored last night.
Because that team does not defend at all. They're all small, so you had your way with them down low all night.
They got lucky that everybody was hot all night and was able to put the ball in the hoop, because how many times did they come up soft and come up cold and we lose games? But, Mike, I want to talk to you about Carson Wentz real quick.
Go ahead.
Because, look, this other source, whoever it is, I just want you to put your name on it. Like Stephen A. said, put your name on it.
Why? Why would it be suicide to put your name on a quote like that. You can't be quoted. If you're Alshon Jeffrey, you can't be quoted as saying something like that.
You have a quarterback problem that needs figuring out.
You know, it's easy for people to stand up like a man and be quoted. You can't possibly put your name to any quote. Seriously. Like, I don't want to go back in history, but all the President's Men thing, when they were getting all that information from a high-ranking FBI guy named Deep Throat, he couldn't put his name on that. That was career suicide. But the information was the important stuff. So, you know, Mike Greenberg thought, oh, you're a coward. Well, whatever. It's unrealistic. And it's easy for us to sit here and say, well, you be a man and put your name on it. If you're saying something like that, you can't put your name on it. You've got to live in that environment. It's still your profession. For whatever your motivation is to want to get the information out there to a reporter, you can't put your name on it. You just can't. It doesn't make you a coward. It makes you live in harmony with your profession.
But then doesn't that mean that the majority of the people around you don't agree with you if you feel uncomfortable putting your name on it? That there would be backlash by the majority?
It doesn't mean anything about anybody else. It means this is how you feel. It doesn't mean anything else. This is the way I feel. And he's hinting that some other people feel the same way. But you can't put your name on that. Suppose he quote, Alshon Jeffrey said Carson Wentz is not a leader. What's the next step to that?
Well, then Wentz is going to say, what? Okay.
Okay, so you got that lingering over the team for now the whole offseason and going into the season.
It's not
going
to linger now?
It's going to linger now, and it's going to linger in the future, and it's always going to linger. That's why you can't put your name on
it. I'm saying without the name, you saying, oh, this will just go away? You don't think people are going to ask Alshon? People aren't going to look at him a certain way anyway?
It's more likely to go away if nobody identifies with the quote than somebody. If you put your name on that, you're the guy. There's always a spotlight on you.
All right.
Can't do it. We live in a perfect world, I know. Green lives in a self-righteous world. Wayne in North Philadelphia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Wayne.
Good afternoon, Mike.
What's going on, Wayne?
Herman, Nelly. I want to start by saying I don't know about this story, what the truth is and what a lie is.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that somebody embellished the whole story. And Tyrone...
Well, how do you know? How do you know that?
Huh?
You don't know that anybody embellished the whole story.
Come on, Mike. Okay, you're right. This is what Tyrone... Can you say T.O.? And we all know how that turned out. And my comment for Mike is, what's the definition of whistleblower? I'm going to listen.
Whistleblower puts his name to it anonymously because he's got to be protected by the whistleblower law. There's a law that would protect him if he reveals himself. There's no law that can protect any anonymous source here. That guy's going to be labeled. Right? I'll give you an example. Like the story that was written, I think it was in Philly Mag when I first came on here. And a couple of anonymous people in here had some negative things to say, and it was an anonymous quote. Now, I know who it was, right? And I haven't revealed who it was. I'll just keep that to myself. But if that person had put his name to that, that person could never work here again with me.
Right.
That person is putting his job in complete jeopardy. I could not work with a guy who felt that way, and that guy would probably be fired.
Right, but what if that guy...
Or if he stayed on, it would be really uncomfortable for the whole station.
Could that guy have went to you one-on-one and said that to you? I'm saying, forget the press.
But he was asked by a reporter. The only reason it comes up is because a reporter is asking the question. Now, you can choose not to answer the question, or you can choose to answer the question. If the reporter says to you, I just want an answer, I'm not going to identify you, then it's your choice to say what you're going to say. You can walk away from the guy. Evidently, whoever said this, if there was anybody who said it, wanted to get it on the record for his own personal agenda, for whatever that was.
And that's what's troubling.
It is what it is. I don't know what's troubling about it.
What's troubling about it is, Carson, it's a statement of fact that Carson's mm-hmm. going to be the quarterback.
Uh-huh.
Therefore, you putting it on the record, especially if you haven't discussed it with Carson, means that you're so selfish that you're like, you know what? I need to get this off mm-hmm. my chest because I hate this guy, even though I don't have the respect to tell him that I hate him. To me, that's troubling in an environment. If you don't like somebody.
In a perfect world, it's troubling. It's an imperfect world, Tyrone. It's just an imperfect world. People do stuff like that. He's got to live, whoever said this, in the same environment. He's got to be a productive player in the same environment. He can't do that if he's identified. He can't. And just going to the guy is not enough for whatever the guy's motivation is. Going to Carson Wentz and saying, I got a problem with this, and that is not good enough, evidently, in his soul to be satisfied. What's going to satisfy him the most is he's putting it out in public to make the other guy look ridiculous because somehow he was made to look ridiculous. And it's a reflection of his ridiculousness that he wants to push on somebody else. It's human behavior.
See, this is where I'm a bad person. I feel like when I got an issue, it's direct, boom, right to the person.
Well, that's the mature thing to do.
I don't even know if that's mature because it leads a lot of problems. But I go directly. Boom. I don't like that. Boom. But then after that, you can't be mad at me. It usually diffuses because, in my opinion, because it's all out there. I don't like X. You respond.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're unusual and you're probably in the minority on the way you handle stuff.
No, I'm the same way.
All right. Well,
some
people handle this a certain way. Some people are more direct. Some people don't care about being liked by another person as much as they like airing their grievances to that person to settle a score, whatever it is.
But if this person, say that there was a source, whoever the source is,
mm-hmm.
if it came out eventually and they're still in the organization and nobody else felt that way, no one's going to like them anyway. So then their mission was a failure.
But the person who is saying it is not thinking it's ever going to come out. that when you say something like that, you're not thinking down the road, gee, this may hurt me. You're thinking at the moment, this is the way I feel. The guy asked me a question. I'm not going to be identified. I'm going to tell him.
Right.
And then you're down the road that it's going to come out and make him look ridiculous.
No,
it's
and then you
motivation.
Have, then you have Malcolm Jenkins, Fletcher Cox, Zach Ertz,
mm-hmm.
looking at them in the locker room after they kind of figure it out. And
well, how are you going to figure it out?
Oh, you can start.
They'll figure it out. They'll figure it out. They'll know.
It's already narrowed down to a couple of people by us. So why wouldn't they narrow it down?
It might be unfair. It might be nobody. We don't even know if it is a source.
It might not even be a teamie. It might not even be somebody on the team.
We have no clarity at all on who this is. We're just supposing here because we talk about sports talk radio issues and we're just conversing. In fact, we're in a bar room. Who could it have been? Well, let's see. He didn't throw it at Alshon, so it's probably Alshon. Now, we don't know it's Alshon. It's dangerous to even think that it's Alshon. But it's going to come up in a natural conversation because we're human beings and that's what we do. Kevin, Delaware, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Kevin?
I want to ask Tyrone a question. Tyrone, because I watch your show after every Sixer game, and you guys you and Crystal have a good eye on this team. You give praises, good and bad, about the bench. But I'm going to talk about that last play. What do you think about you said that Butler should have yelled out to Embiid that a pick is coming. Why are we paying any attention to Grant in the corner?
What play are you talking about?
I'm talking about the play that Butler...
Wait, are you talking about 2 games ago?
Saturday night.
All right, but identify what you're talking about, dude, because they played last night. Like, I don't know where you're going with this. You talking about the last play when Butler got double teamed?
Yeah.
All right. What's your beef about it?
Sorry about that. I was talking about why. Tyrone said that Butler should have yelled out.
All right, he's gone. He evaporated. What happened?
It's about when Paul George made the three, and you pointed out on Twitter at the time how he got rubbed by Adams.
Right.
I'm watching the film, and it doesn't look like Butler said anything.
Mm-hmm.
Embiid is in a tough spot because they're only up at the time, up by two
right
at the time. If Embiid leaves Adams, that's a layup. That's overtime. You're trying to win the game. Without Butler yelling it out, Embiid's in a tough spot as far as stepping up to stop George from shooting a three. That's all I said.
It was Butler who got out there, not Embiid.
Right, Embiid was on Adams. Adams rubbed Butler. Remember, you tweeted out. So I was saying that Butler, it didn't seem like to me he communicated to Embiid that he got rubbed, so Embiid couldn't step out to help on the three. That was all.
All right, I don't know what the guy was point was he was making because we lost his line. He must have hung up before he... You make the point, but we're talking about 2 games ago still. Shane in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shane.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on, Shane?
Not much. So, yeah, I just want to say the whole Wentz thing, guys. So, to me, a couple things that stand out are just that you got a guy like Fletcher Cox, who, you know, is a much more veteran player than Wentz, obviously, and a leader, and he's not even in the same unit, and he immediately came out and said, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And also,
that means nothing. I got to be honest with you. That means nothing to me. What Fletcher Cox said. Why should that mean anything to me? That Fletcher Cox's opinion is that it's not true. He doesn't know if it's true. He doesn't know.
One of the leaders of the team.
But he doesn't know how other people feel.
It's true. Well, I thought the Torrey Smith was kind of interesting too because he only played with Carson for a year and he's not even
but Torrey Smith's not even in the locker room, so his is irrelevant too. Now, I know what you're thinking here. You want to protect your guy. You're going to protect Wentz, right? But all these guys that tweet out are only protecting their own ass. I mean, they may be trying to be truthful about it, but they can't put themselves in the mind of other players who may have said this.
And also to Tyrone's point from the opening, you know, if you work with 53 guys, there's odds are at least 5 or 6 probably you're not going to get along with.
Yeah, and that's why I would not run the story. I've been on the record that unless the only story that's there is if something is affecting the team in the negative, and for it to affect the team in the negative, it's got to be more than half of the people that feel that way.
No, absolutely.
That's just 6 dudes, or half a dozen. This story said half a dozen and some other sources within the organization. Well, what is that to me? You know, that doesn't mean anything to me.
And real quick, want to throw in, I'll give you your Flyers point of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think this kid Hart, he's really showing something. You know, he doesn't have a real strong team in front of him. Mm-hmm. He's 20 years old, and he's obviously very quick and has a lot of poise, but he just really seems to be, might be a special player. And nice to see Nolan Patrick came off probably his best week as a pro this past week. So
wow, look at you. Fired up, brother. I love it.
Probably too little too late, but I like where the team's going.
Oh, I think it's great. I had no idea where the team's going. A lot of people, Carter Hart looking good. I go, I don't know. Wake me up next year, all right, when I see him play more than a handful of games.
I was watching him Saturday.
He's Bernie Perron.
After the Sixers, I watched him on Saturday.
Okay.
Hart was playing well.
Good. I'm glad he's playing well.
Was he heartsy? Is that what they said?
Heartsy.
Heartsy.
Well, whatever it is. But, you know, wake me up later, all right? They stink.
It's three in a row for the Flyers.
Yeah, all right. They're not a very good team. So I find it hard to really evaluate what they are at all. And I know we want to, like, be optimistic about something with the Flyers. And so Carter Hart is the optimistic flavor right now. But that doesn't mean that it's, you know how I am.
It takes a lot.
I'm a skeptic.
I know.
It takes a real lot.
Well, if he plays the whole rest of the year, also Hextall made a mistake not bringing him up. That's clear. He's not overwhelmed.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Mastinelli shows on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
249, Mike Mastinelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Another short night of sleep for me, Tyrone, last night because I'm flipping through at 11:30, and guess what comes on? MTV Live.
Oh, I know what it was because you were playing it before the show. You raged.
Rage Against the Machine, 2010 concert, live from London.
Had to watch that at midnight, didn't you?
When you were playing it, though... Yeah, you want to talk about a band with a real front man,
uh-huh.
And that crowd was crazy, wild.
A spectacle, monopolized, the camera's eyes on choice disguise. Lights out, guerrilla radio, turn them up. And then he goes into a whisper. It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now? Feel me now?
I do. And then what? Were you all jazzed the rest of the night?
Of course.
Yeah.
Zach,
he's all pumped up.
And Zach's got this thing going, like, the whole time, you know?
Yeah,
he's got
to,
like, that.
Did you start doing it back to him?
No, I was laying in bed with my propped up little, my new little,
little
gadget.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the dog.
Yeah.
Me and the dog are rocking the Rage.
I bet.
Crazy band, man.
They were.
I know a lot of people don't like them because, like, the political part of them. But they get in your soul, that band.
They do.
They?
The issue is, it's weird because I was always more AudioSlave, and that's probably wrong.
I love AudioSlave.
I love AudioSlave.
AudioSlave was a musical group. Rage Against the Machine is like, bam!
Yeah. And for some reason, the AudioSlave, so I feel like I'm faux because, like, I like it, but I don't love it. But I love the AudioSlave, so it's...
Oh. All right. Let's go back to the phone. Scott in Northeast. Scott, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Scott.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, Scotty?
You know, this Markelle Fultz thing, Mike, is driving me nuts. Mm-hmm. He's sitting on the bench. He's yucking it.
Loving it. Taunting Harden. Did you see him?
I'm not like, what is he doing? And like, he's perfect for what we need. We wouldn't have to go out and get anybody for this stretch run if he would just come back and play. I don't know, like, what the deal is with this guy. Do you know what the deal is?
No, I don't know what the deal with it. In fact, the coach said that he is, well, according to Allie LaForce last night, was saying that he's not close to even getting into any kind of basketball activities. He's not going to play the rest of the year.
It looks like he's like ready to play ball to me. I mean,
his shoulder is what really has to play ball. Like, you know, you can't just look at a guy and he looks pretty on the bench and think he's ready to play ball. If his shoulder is not conducive to playing ball, then he's, not going to play all year.
All right, I understand that. And, all the people are saying that the Sixers need, a stretch four, a good perimeter defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
They had that guy in Bridges.
Yeah, I get it, but he's not a stretch four. He's a three.
I understand, but he would have filled that role. They wouldn't have had to go on out and get anybody. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he might have had Bridges
and Fultz.
It's easy to look back and say Bridges would have helped them because the other guy's not playing.
Right.
So I don't know how much Mikal Bridges would have helped this year. It seems like he's still feeling his way in the league.
Okay, and then I got a question for you, Mike. Mm-hmm. Don't you think the NBA's turned into the ABA?
Meaning what?
Meaning up and down, high scoring, 3-point guard oriented league. That's the way the ABA was back in the day. 140 point.
Yeah, I mean, it may, but you have a problem with that?
No, I love it. I think.
Yeah, I love it too. I love the fast pace of it.
I think it's fabulous.
I love the 3-point shot. Seriously. It's a 3-point shot, man. The way they play for the 3-point shot, dribble drive, 3-point shot, it's beautiful. I love it. You got to defend the entire floor now the way these guys can make those 3-pointers.
They're saying it because Barkley was complaining about it.
Oh, was he? Well, Charles old school.
Yeah.
Charles has his views that are sometimes half-cocked. I love him.
Right.
But, he's got these views that are a little strange at times. You got to change your viewing. Like when the game changes, change your view and say, all right, this is the way it is now.
And Dick Vitale jumped on it on Twitter, and that went a little bit viral. So
did he?
Yeah.
What do you expect? Dick Vitale.
But you know how you...
He was coaching Earl Cureton back in the day.
Right.
Come on, man. Mikal Bridges this year, he's averaging 7.6 points. 2.8 rebounds, 1.6 assists, and he's...
What's he shooting from three?
Yeah, 26 minutes. He's shooting 34% from three.
All right, so about league average.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's as a rookie, that's what you expect.
Yeah, it's not bad, but yeah. I don't know if he would have made a significant difference. He would obviously made more of a difference than Zaire Smith at this point, right?
And Corky.
Because another guy who probably won't play the rest of the year. Corky got in early last night, didn't he?
Yeah.
And they went to Cork?
They went to Cork, and they went to a switch, and he had Harden. And Harden missed the last two, and Ben was on him, and Brewer was on him. Yeah, he saw Cork, and that's what got him hot. Boom, three. That's when he started getting hot.
Harden probably looked at him and went, nah, turkey boy. Ain't happening. 610-632-0975. Mike Misnelli Show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.